Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Senior Pastor Randy Bain. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
This evening we're going to read from Luke 2. I'm going to read the entire 20 verses, which would be the extended Christmas story from Luke's Gospel. And I encourage you in your gatherings tonight, and you have permission, my permission, and if your loved ones are here with you, when you sit down to eat or you're going to open presents, just take time at least read the first 7 verses of Luke 2. I mean, just make it a spiritual moment in the midst of all the celebration. But hear the word of God from Luke 2, beginning with verse 1. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. Amen. Amen. Please pray with me. Lord, thank you for this, your holy word. And Lord, as we celebrate the coming of Christ, the Messiah, the King, I pray, Lord, that you would do a work of grace in our lives and our hearts. Help us recognize that that baby in the manger is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is coming again. We worship you today. Hide me behind the cross that you might speak and we might hear. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I've shared this before, but in my devotional time during this Advent season, I've tried to be more intentional to add music. I'm not always a big music person or in my private prayer time and Bible reading and study, but I've tried to do it this a little bit more this Advent season. And our home group guides that we get to lead the home groups usually has an icebreaker question. And the icebreaker question, I think a couple weeks ago, was, "What's your favorite Christmas song?" And I thought, oh, wow, what's my favorite Christmas song? And so actually, I think one of my favorites, it's an older one, is "What Child Is This?" I like the tune. I like the meaning, the message. And even as a kid, I kind of like that. And it's kind of coincidental. I had to run home between services to check my furnace. That's a whole other thing. But when I came back, I had Caleb on, and it was playing "What Child Is This?" I thought, oh, wow, that's awesome. So I thought I should just sit and listen to it. But then thought, no, I should get into the church. I should not sit in the truck. So I got out of my truck, shut it off. And as soon as I got out, I could hear a car playing "What Child Is This?" I thought, who in the world has Caleb on? Well, I think it was Danny Wagner. I saw Danny get out of his car then and then shut the door, and then it quit. I thought, my God, that was just so amazing for me. Such a special little blessing. But as I listened to that song, and of course the sermon series this Advent has been about the King is coming. So talking more about not just the baby in a manger, but about Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so as I was thinking about that, you know, whatever you're thinking about, that's what you see all the time, right? And since I'm thinking about King of Kings, I realized how many times in that song, "What Child Is This?" it mentions Jesus being Christ the King, or He is the King of Kings. And so it just really blessed my soul. And so as we think about Christmas, as we celebrate the coming of the Christ child, let us also remember who He really is. He isn't just a baby in the manger, any baby, but He is the Son of God. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is our Savior, and He is our coming King. And we should worship Him and celebrate in that way. This during Advent season, we're always in a waiting mode. And you know, if we were a purely liturgical church, we would not sing one Christmas carol or one Christmas hymn until you got to tonight. You'd be singing "O Come, Emmanuel," or all these songs of longing, waiting, anticipating. But there's so many great Christmas songs, and if you stay to the liturgy, the liturgical aspect of the church, you would only sing them today, tomorrow, and then the next Sunday. That's it. Then you don't sing them anymore. So we have sung them all month. But we've been waiting. We've been waiting to celebrate Christmas. Kids, I know, are waiting for presents. Actually, I'm waiting for presents too. You know, it's just, you're right. I mean, isn't that true? We're all kind of excited about that. Family get-togethers, I'm excited about that. We're going to have gatherings with both of our kids. And so we're excited about that this year, that we get to do that. And so you're always anticipating waiting. Now, of course, the theme of Advent, we're waiting for the coming of Christ. But we're also waiting for the second coming. Amen? The Lord is coming back.
Yes.
That is a tenet of our faith. That is the most documented prophecy, and the early church anticipated that,
yes.
And we anticipate the second coming of Christ.
Yes.
And so we're waiting. So how have you been doing waiting this year? I am not a good waiter. I don't like waiting. I don't like standing in line. I literally have one autograph to my name, and it is in my office, and it's because it was a gift to me. The guy that I hosted a game feed, and the speaker brought a picture of a buck and signed it and gave it to me. But I had never stood in line to get an autograph. I just can't do it. You know, I don't like to stand in line. I don't like to wait. I took Darlene shopping. I think it was the end of last week, wasn't it? Was it early this week? This week. And we went to Walmart Plaza. Okay. And you know, it was like mid-afternoon. Okay, so you're getting the work traffic plus shoppers traffic. And we're coming up, if you're all familiar with that road, we're coming up Elton Road. We came like past Denny's and past, what is that, Chili's. And then there's a Sheetz there. That's where we stopped. We could not even get into the plaza. The traffic was backed up that far from the parking lot. So it was out the parking lot, up the ramp, and the whole way down Elton Road. We couldn't even get off the road. And I thought, this is crazy. Then you look over the parking lot, it is full. It's all cars. There's no place that all the roads between the parking were full, and you had to wait for one car, then another car. And it was nuts. But we're waiting. We're waiting. And we're waiting. And waiting. Seems like we've been waiting for the second coming. We've been waiting for a couple thousand years for the second coming. And a reminder of 2 Peter says that God is not slack concerning His promises. But he is patient. He wants no one to perish. So when sin has reached its level, and all those that are going to get saved have reached the right number, then Jesus will come back.
Wow.
And we anticipate that and celebrate that. So as we think about this scripture, I think about the first Christmas. And I think we need to sympathize with the innkeeper, right? He didn't know who was there, right? He didn't know this was the King of Kings. The angel didn't come to the innkeeper and say, this will be a sign to you. You know, he didn't get that. So here comes Jesus and Mary and Joseph. Well, no Jesus yet, but Mary and Joseph and expectant Mary. And verse 7 would be that verse. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. We make a whole story about the innkeeper out of that one phrase. There was no room for them in the inn. And I want you to think about, picture who they were. They probably were bedraggled-looking, rough-looking strangers who had just traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem. They might have looked poor. They were exhausted. And here they were looking for a room. There was no room. There was no room available. Now, it's kind of interesting. I believe Joseph came with the intentions of staying in Bethlehem. And the reason I say that was, why would you bring Mary, who's 9 months pregnant, with you if you weren't planning on staying? Because if you look on a map, from Nazareth to Bethlehem, if you would take Route 1 and then Route 6 in Israel today, it would take you about 3 hours to drive there. And if you're walking, you could actually walk it in about 32 hours. At least that's what Google says. You know, I know that desert modern roads, and in those days they always bypassed Samaria, so it was a little longer route. But I mean, he could have made it in a couple days. So he could have left Mary back home, came down in a couple days, and went back. But he didn't. He brought Mary along. I think he was intending to stay for a while. And so they come, there is no room, and they end up in a manger. Why do they end up in a manger? We say, because there was no room. I think there's more to it than that. Let's read this. Let me reread verses 11 and 12, 10, 11, and 12. Where the angels come to the shepherds, they say, "Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David has been born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." The manger, not only was it because there was no room, that was a sign to the shepherds. It was a sign indicating where the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord, would be born. Now, let's think about some of the choices, the options that the shepherds had. The angel came and told them that the Savior would be Christ the Lord. They had a decision to make. They could say, "Well, wow, that was crazy," and then stop at the local bar to kind of ease the edge a little bit, you know. Or they could say, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing the Lord has revealed to us." And now they made a decision. They get there, and what happened? They see the sign fulfilled. The baby is in a manger. So that makes everything the angel said true. This was really a confirmation of what the angel had said. This was the sign. And so I want you to think about, you have all had options tonight. So who all has already eaten or already had a party with your family? Some of you have done that, okay, so you've got to come to the 7 o'clock service. Some of you would have probably liked the midnight service, so then you could have, you know, got more party in the end. Some of you are going, I've already talked to some of you, you're going to dinners afterwards, right? And you're going to do some family gathering. Yeah, oh, wow, there we go. What are you eating, Josh? Do you know what you're eating? Okay. Darlene and I traditionally have, after, no matter what time these our services end, we have done them all. We've done them 5, we've done them 7, we've done them 9, we've done them 11. Whatever that we get home, we have shrimp and eggnog. And it's homemade eggnog with no rum. No even rum flavoring. I didn't even know there was supposed to be rum and eggnog until I heard it advertised somewhere. And then I said, "Well, we could put flavoring in." She said, "I never made it with it before. I'm not starting." But we have raw eggs, and some people don't like that, but we do that. So, but we always have done that, and so that's kind of our tradition as a family. So we're going to go there after. That's our choice. That's our option. I'm so glad you have chosen to be here in church. I mean, whether you brought your whole family, whether you're coming in between family gatherings, or maybe you made a choice instead of going to your grandchildren's church or your girlfriend's church or something else, you have come here. And I just say, praise the Lord, thank you for coming. Think of the options the wise men or the shepherds could have made. They could have blown it off. They could have said, no, we're not going. Or they could say, let's go and see. And that's the choice they made. They went and saw, and then after they saw, they went and told everyone they saw. Everyone that they met, they told about this story. The sign, the angel, and the baby in the manger. Now I want you to think about that. For them, that's not a big deal. Even for you and me coming here to church tonight, it's not that big a deal. I mean, it can be, but I mean, it's not really life-changing necessarily. It might be an inconvenience. It might be a change in plans. It might be a later meal. I haven't eaten supper yet. I mean, so for me, it's a later meal. But think about Mary and Joseph. The choices they made, the decisions of the will that they made, the surrender that they made. Mary's told the angel, I am the Lord's servant, be it unto me as you have said, right? And that completely changed her life, amen? Not just 9 months of it, but for the rest of her life, she's changed. What about Joseph? Joseph was going to divorce her quietly, remember? And he had a dream, and an angel said, go ahead and take Mary, because what is being born of her is of the Holy Spirit. And you will keep her and name the baby Jesus. And it said he awoke from his dream and did what? And did exactly what the angel said. It changed his life completely. And I believe if we really recognize who is in the manger, this isn't just a baby, even Mary's firstborn baby, but this is the Son of God. This is the Savior of the world. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Decisions you make about that person completely changes your life. Look at the innkeeper's options. It says she gave birth to a firstborn son and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You've probably heard the joke about, and I've actually heard people say, but I've never seen it work. If you go to a hotel and you tell there's no vacancies, and you say, well, you're telling me that if the President of the United States came here, you would not have a room for him. And they say, well, technically, if he came, we would find a room for him. Well, then you say, well, he's not coming tonight. I'll take his room. Yeah. You know, I mean that would work. Well, I want you to think about the innkeeper. If the innkeeper would have known who was coming, would there have been a room? I'm thinking the manger is like the fourth or fifth option, right? I'm thinking about the first option. If you came to my house, okay, and the furnace is working, so if you came to my house, at least it was a half hour ago, if you come to my house, if you were the President of the United States or you were the King of Kings, I could put you in the master bedroom. We have a bigger room, which is it's our master bedroom. We have an attached bathroom, which is a master bath. We would let you stay there, right? But another option would be I do have a spare room. I could put you in the spare room that has a bed. Or another option is I could put you in the couch. That would kind of be the third option in the living room. A fourth option probably would be, I actually have one of those electric lift chairs left over from Darlene's mom and dad. And it doesn't fit in our living room. So I actually have it in the basement trying to figure out what I'm going to do with it. I mean, it's pretty comfortable, actually. Now, that could be a fourth option, right? What was the innkeeper's options were, what, probably the same, I think. I could put these people, I could move these people, I could give you my room, I could sleep on the couch, or we could put you in the manger. We could put you in the stable back in the cave, back behind the house. That's way down on the list, right? So what about, how do you treat Jesus? If he's just the firstborn son of Mary, it's okay to put him in one of the lower options. But if he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you can't put them in that lower spot. Thinking about how that relates to us, that phrase, no room for him in the inn, I really think it hits home to me. Because I know there are times that all of us don't always make the Lordship of Christ the top priority. I mean, we might not have time in our schedule for him. Or maybe we have some activity that we would prefer to do, or some way of life that we would like to be able to do this, and we know that just doesn't fit with the Lordship of Christ. Where is the Lordship of Christ in your life? If you would say about your life today, would you say is there no room in the inn? Is there no room in your life? Or would you make room in your life for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? It's interesting is that I got a little insight really the last few days about this sign. I never really noticed that before, that it said this will be a sign to you. I mean, I know they said that. This will be a sign to you that you will see the baby wrapped in cloths. That's normal. But lying in a manger is the extreme thing. And I want you to think about it. We often get so focused on the manger, but we miss who is in the manger, what the sign was symbolizing. This would be the Savior, Christ the Lord. That's what it was symbolizing. Remember Jesus' baptism? What happened at the baptism? Jesus came out of the water, and what happened? Go ahead, tell me. A dove came down, right? No, a dove didn't come down. The Holy Spirit came down. The dove was a sign of it. Right? I just want you to think about that. I want you to be upset about that a little bit. I want you to think about it. It is, the sign was the dove. Right? So when Jesus was born, the manger isn't the thing. The manger was the sign to the shepherds. It confirmed the message of the angels. And did you know why the dove came down? Because the Holy Spirit can't come without a dove? Is that right? I mean, is that right? No. God had told John the Baptist, when you baptize someone and he comes out of the water and a dove comes down, the Holy Spirit, then that's the one. That's the Messiah. It was a sign for John the Baptist to know. This is the Messiah. So this evening, we celebrate the birth of Christ and we celebrate the manger because it was a sign to the shepherds. And it ought to make us know what our options are. What are our options today? If he's just the son of Mary, if he's a nice Jewish guy and a good teacher and a prophet and a good doer, well then what you do with him doesn't that matter that much. But if he is the Son of God, if he is the Savior of the world, if he is the King of Kings, what you do with Jesus is vitally important. A few years ago, I had someone come to my door. And I've shared this story so many times, but I've got a new conviction on it now. Came to my door on Christmas morning, Christmas Day. He was traveling. I don't know where he was traveling from, but he was trying to go to Bedford. I didn't live near Bedford. I'm like, why are you here? Well, I'm traveling by hostels, which are like traveling hotels. And he said, I need to get to Bedford. So could I spend the night? It was rainy. It was wet. He had a cold. And I didn't know him. And I did the nicest thing I could. I put him up in the church basement. Now, the church had a carpeted area. It was a little library section. It had steam heated, coal furnace with steam heat. It was nice and toasty. I thought this would be a nice place for him. So I gave him, they had a couch there. And then we even catered dinner to him. I took dinner over. We had chicken cordon bleu that night. And I took that to him. And then he had a bad cold. I gave him all the, what's that, Diamond Tap that we had or something. So I'm peddling drugs. I'm giving drugs away, you know, to this guy. And I always thought, I was, how could you turn a guy away? I remember asking him, how did you get to my house? I'm going on the way to Bedford. He said, well, I stopped at that other church on the road, because I'm not even on the main road, and they told me I should come over here and see if you could help me. I'm like, really? A church turned you away on Christmas? That's like awesome. I just couldn't believe that. But then now the conviction comes. Because I start thinking about the church basement is really would have been the third option, probably. The fourth option would have been the garage, and the fifth option, if we had an outbuilding, it would have been more like a manger, stable. But I gave him the third option. I didn't give him my bedroom. I didn't give him one of the kids' bedrooms. I didn't know him. He looked a little shady, you know? Did I do okay? What did Jesus say? Matthew 25. It said, the king said, whatever you have done to the least of these brothers of mine, you have done unto me. I'm thinking, wow, I probably should have given him a better option. Right? You know, Hebrews 13 says about entertaining angels. It says, show hospitality to everyone because many have entertained angels unaware. And I think sometimes we think, okay, I need to show hospitality to the homeless, to the needy, because I might be an angel. I'll get a blessing out of it, right? But that isn't what Matthew 25 says. Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of these, you do to me. And it's kind of interesting, in that parable, in that teaching, the king is the one talking. The king comes to my house, he gets my bed, right? If the homeless person comes to my house, I give him the church basement. Now, I just want you to take that thought and apply it to Christmas. If Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, do you make your heart the manger, which is the third or fourth option, or do you make your heart the throne for the King?
Wow. That's good.
That's a new image for me this Christmas, is that I want to make my heart the throne for King Jesus. I want him to be the Lord of my life. I want my life to be totally changed, never the same. Mary and Joseph.
Sorry, everybody.
Mary and Joseph. Lives were never the same. All the disciples that followed Jesus' lives were never the same. As you have attended this service, I'm hoping, as you recognize Jesus, that baby in the manger, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that your life will never be the same. Let every aspect of your life conform to the teachings and to the Lordship and to the grace of Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you. Thank you for your love for us. In spite of ourselves, O God, we don't deserve what you have given. It's a gift. And Lord, we not only receive you as Savior, but Lord, we want to make you the Lord of our life. Take your place on the throne of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.